Hello and welcome. This is Charlotte Jacobs, and this is our six-figure mastermind call for today, which is July 11th. And I'm totally excited to be here with you. Our topic today is how to use meetup.com to get an endless stream of new clients. And I've got a very, very special guest, one of our six-figure graduates, Dana Garrison, on the line. I'm going to introduce her in just a bit. And before I do, just want to do some quick welcomes here. I'm seeing Mario, Melissa, Linda, Lita, Reverend Jill, Robin, Elizabeth, Risa, Laura, Alan, Shabir, Carolyn, Colleen, Valerie, Rachel, Christine, Jocelyn, Pam, Holly, Alyssa, Latanya, Debbie, Kim, Karen, Laura, Renata, Yelimar, and Lilia on the line. And there are more that I can't actually see some of you down here. My little dashboard isn't showing up, but I'm just so thrilled that you're here, and I love that you're here for this topic, because Meetup, we've personally been using Meetup lately to have more people come and create community and network with each other, and also to, you know, invite people to come to the Rejuvenate Your Practice. And so this was such an exciting topic for me that I wanted to invite Dana to be here, because I know that when I was kind of doing my research about other meetups that were in the area, I found that Dana had quite a vibrant and vivacious meetup going on. And so I reached out to her specifically to bring this topic to you. And if you're on this call, it means you're really looking for a very cool, high-leverage way to get more clients, and I'm excited for you to be here. All right, those are my announcements. Time to get right into tonight's topic, how to use meetup.com to get an endless stream of new clients. And I'm so excited for this topic. Today you're going to learn some really great information, as well as I hope you have already downloaded the handouts for today's call, which you can find in the Rejuvenate Resource Center. Just go to rejuvenateresourcecenter.com, log in, click on the tab that says Six Figure Mastermind, and then go to July Calls. And you should see Dana's picture there, and you'll see the handouts right under the copy about this call. So I want to tell you a little bit about Dana, and then I'm going to bring her right on. Well, when Dana decided to start her own business, she was suffering from chronic Lyme disease and living on a friend's futon. And she realized pretty quickly the only way that she'd be able to manage was by figuring out the core essentials of running a business and cutting back on all the rest. So she spent years studying how to operate a successful business and figuring out how to make it simple. And when she launched her own business full-time, she soared straight to six figures. And that was while traveling internationally for 4 months. And she calls her method the six-figure freedom formula. And Dana now helps small business owners evolve their businesses into what she calls freedom businesses. And she helps people boost their revenues to six figures and beyond, whilst freeing up their time to have fun, travel the world, and become a jet setter. So, Dana, I am so delighted to have you here. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure and a joy to come back. I've gotten so much out of being a part of your community. I'm really excited today to give back.
So glad that you're here. And I, you know, we have so much content to share on the call today, because you and I really fleshed this out. And I know everybody's got a lot to learn today. And again, I want to remind everybody to go, make sure you go and download your handout so that you have these really cool checklists that Dana put together for you. And get ready to take a crazy amount of notes, because we're just going to jump right in. And before we actually get into some of the content, Dana, I always like to start with your story, because, you know, one, it's really inspiring for everyone to hear. I mean, here you were, you know, Lyme's disease, living on somebody's futon. I didn't know if, you know, that was your situation when you were in our programs, but I know that, you know, had the courage to really step in. And everyone here, for a lot of them, it was a leap of faith to invest in themselves and start studying. So tell us your whole story and inspire us with how you went from a full-time job to six figures.
Absolutely. Yeah, as y'all heard, my journey did not start out smooth. I started out with a lot of problems, health problems like Lyme disease, insomnia, I had post-traumatic stress disorder, and I have dyslexia and ADD, so I came with a list full of setbacks and obstacles, and I was working full-time. I was working full-time as a therapist, and I couldn't handle the 9-to-5. I knew that I wanted to work for myself, and in fact, I knew that I needed to work for myself because my body couldn't handle the 9-to-5 schedule. And so I started learning about business. In fact, one of the places that I went to learn business was with you, Sharla. I was in Build Your Empire, and I learned really important things that I use still today, like how to manage the energy of a room, how to use accelerated learning to keep people engaged. I got practice at feeling more comfortable on the stage at the events, and I loved having all the formulas and the templates that you gave us. I still use those now. It made, you know, back at the time, it made getting started so much quicker, and the templates helped me to write copy. It helped me to create content for our talks, and that all was really important for getting started quickly, which is what I had my heart set on. And really the secret to my success has been a twofold path. I've spent time learning about the outer game, which is business. I took years learning about business and then learning how to simplify business down to its core essentials because I had so little time at the end of the day, after work, and on weekends, and I had so little energy because of all the health issues to really do anything. So I really ended up mastering the formula for simplifying business because I had to, which is what I now teach in the six-figure Freedom Business event. And the second part of the twofold path that I really took to get successful was that I did my inner work. I worked on really my inner game of success. And as you know, I mentioned earlier, I was a therapist for about a decade. And when I learned that 90% of what stops you is located in your subconscious, well, I switched my focus from doing a lot of conscious mind work into really focusing on removing subconscious blocks. And I found that family entanglement work and childhood re-imprinting work were really the most powerful tools for that. And I removed my subconscious block specifically to help with health issues and around money and success. A lot of that, actually, a lot of those teachings are in the care package that I created. And really the tipping point came one winter break because, you know, trying to get things done when you have Lyme disease in the evenings after a full day of work and on the weekends, it was really tough. And so during winter break, I took time off for the holidays. And I spent time during that time giving free consultations and having heart-sewing conversations. And within about a month and a half, I was able to get a full caseload of clients and was able to leave my job. And I used, as I said, the heart-selling techniques that I learned from you in combination with some of the other techniques that I now teach. And it really took so much shorter of an amount of time than I ever would have dreamed. It was a lot easier in the end than I thought it was going to be once I really got started and really got into it. And then within that first year of business, I soared to six figures, and it blew me away that I soared to six figures. I had no idea until the end of the year when I got the final, you know, profit and loss sheet from my bookkeeper. And I looked back and I had traveled for 4 months out of the year. And so to upfront answer any objections about how much easier it is to reach six figures if you teach business, I went to six figures doing family entanglement work and childhood re-imprinting work, which is totally woo-woo work that's unheard of. Nobody's heard of it usually. And really it was one reason I loved it so much was that it got rid of my main health symptoms, and I used it to really clear out my money and business blocks that first year, and that's how I was able to move so quickly. And since then, I've been able to use that work to help thousands of people. For example, I think some of you can relate. There was a woman that I worked with who was a Pilates instructor. She was a new Pilates instructor, and she was struggling to grow her business for over half a year. And when we went and started doing her work around family entanglement work, we discovered that she was entangled with some relatives who were struggling with money. And so when we unplugged her from that entanglement, within the next 2 weeks, she got more clients than she had had in the previous 6 months combined. And in fact, she had so many, she had to put them on a wait list, which is not a bad problem to have. And actually, I started teaching business later on because people had heard that I was able to reach six figures in my first year with health issues and still got to travel a lot. And, you know, that kind of system is what I call the six-figure freedom formula, and people ended up wanting to learn that. So I started to teach that. I started mentoring people in business. And you know, a lot of the things that people end up wanting to learn, I'm sure most of y'all are familiar with, wanting to get more clients, wanting to get paid better for what you do. In fact, recently I just had a session with a woman who wanted exactly those two things. And when she put into practice what she had learned, the next week she got a client who signed up for a $10,000 package and paid her upfront with a check, which has never happened to her before. So, you know, really learning business, which is what y'all are doing right now, really learning business, and in my opinion, doing your inner work as well, is really, really the core of what can make you successful. And since we're going to be talking about meetups today, I'll share with you that I started my meetup because I love speaking and I love teaching, and it ends up being another venue that makes that possible. I can speak on my own stage. And I get about 30 to 75 people who attend my meetups each time. It depends on whether or not I limit the size and how many people are able to come. And I'll come home with a wait list of 20 to 50 people who are wanting to talk to me, or who want to join me at an event, or join me on a call that I'm running. And about 40% of my clients actually come from my meetups. So it is actually a fantastic way to start filling your rooms or filling your practice. And so this is going to be a really fun and hot, and as Charlotte said, leveraged way to start building your businesses.
Cool. Thanks for sharing your story with us, Dana. And I want to talk about why one of our members might want to start a meetup and how it can benefit them by filling their practice.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best ways to build your practice is to speak. And it can be hard to find speaking engagements when you're first starting out. Meetup is basically your own stage. It's your own speaking engagement. You sign up to be an organizer of meetups, and once you sign up, you get to lead or organize 3 meetups per account. So when you sign up and you start your own account, you get to lead 3 meetups. And when people go to meetup.com, they search for topics that they're interested in, and then they can find you through the meetup website. So meetup has their own way of collecting all the data of all the meetups that they host, and whenever somebody goes on the website, they can type in whatever they're interested in, and if you match what they're interested in, if you cover a topic that they're interested in, like relationships, for example, then your meetup pops up. And Meetup optimizes their site to be able to find your meetup when people are searching for you.
Mm.
From the meetup,
this is interesting, Dana. I want to pause for a moment because that could be confusing about that you can do 3 meetups and what that means. Like that means that you could host 3 meetup.com. Like you can have 3 different pages on a meetup site. So in each meetup you can just keep putting events on, and so you could have like three different groups with even 3 different names, and even have them all go to the same event if you want. But that's just want to make sure that you understand that what that means is you have 3 different meetup pages, and then you can, you know, do as many events as you want for those pages.
That's right. Actually, thank you for clarifying that. What I mean by 3 meetup groups is technically, let's say you help people with relationships and you also help people with health. Let's just say that you happen to do something of, you know, a little of both. You can run one of your meetup groups on health and one of your meetup groups on relationship, for example. Now, of course, you want to really be targeted around what you do and not have your fingers in too many pies, so you can even break up what you do into slightly separate meetup groups. You can do a meetup group on health and chronic illness, and you can do another meetup group on health and, you know, short-term health things like diet, nutrition, and weight loss. So it can all still fall under the same umbrella, but slightly, you know, slightly different niches if you like. And like Charlotte said, they can all end up going to the same meetup if you like.
Right.
And from the meetup group, you know, I've promoted working with me privately. I've promoted working in small groups, coming to events like the 6-Figure Freedom Formula, and then people can win prizes like the care package I mentioned earlier, which has recordings of, you know, e-books. It's filled with things for people to learn inner game and outer game stuff. So you can really begin to promote from your meetup anything that you do, anything that you've got.
Great. Well, and then let's talk about, you know, optimizing your meetup page so you get the maximum number of people coming to your events. Because I know when we set ours up, I made this, like, awful mistake that totally made, you know, fewer people sign up to be a part of our meetup. And so let's go through one of the handouts where you gave a checklist of what to do when setting up your meetup page.
Fantastic. Yeah, if you've got that meetup with you, or that checklist, rather, with you on creating or starting a meetup, you can follow along a little bit as I go over this. The checklist that I created for you is also an instruction guide. So it literally walks you through the steps to setting up and starting a meetup. So for those of you where computer savviness is not, you know, your first and foremost talent, the instructions are on there. Numbers 1 through 11 are really the instructions on how to start your own meetup. And one of the steps, which is I think something that Charlotte can share with us a little bit about, is how to choose a group name. Charlotte, didn't you have some experience around choosing group names?
Yeah, I mean, you want to choose a name that people are going to be attracted to and see themselves in, right? So,
yeah.
You know, for example, we did Client Attraction Network for our group because we thought, hey, let's get together a bunch of people who really want to get clients and want to be part of a community. And so it's like pretty obvious in that name. And then also thinking, you know, then it's different than your interest topics, but we'll talk about that, I'm sure, the interest groups. But and then what's your name again for your meetup, Dana?
The Bay Area Entrepreneur and Small Business Meetup.
Great. So people are going to see themselves in it, right? So if they're an entrepreneur or they own a small business and they're in the Bay Area, they are going to see themselves in your name. And so I think that's a really, really powerful thing to think about when you're choosing a group name. Like I know that there's some others. You know, I've been doing a lot of research, and there's one like the, you know, Bay Area Metaphysical members or something like that. And it's like people that are in a metaphysical, you know, healing, they're going to join that group, right? Or their practitioners are going to join that group. So make sure you name it in a way that people will see themselves in it. And then, of course, you know, we give in both Leverage Your Genius and Build Your Empire, we give you templates for how to name your stuff. And I think we actually even have a call that is really powerful in the archives, the Six Figure Mastermind archives. So if you really want to go deep into naming, I would listen to that call as a resource.
Yeah, absolutely. Naming is definitely important so that people can be attracted to your group based on, as Charlotte said, seeing themselves in the name. And then take a look at the checklist at number 7. There's a portion for you to fill in a brief description about your group. And when you're first setting up your meetup, you'll want to kind of write a short description in there. And don't worry about trying to get it all right the first time. You can always come back and redo this later, so there's no need to try to compose it all immediately. But you will want to put a brief description in there so that the world knows what you do and who you serve. Looking at number 9, you'll also want to choose the keywords that relate to your group. So when you're setting up your meetup, it actually takes you through this process where you get to choose keywords. And keywords are really the words that people would type when they're looking for a group. So when they go to the meetup site, there's a search bar and they can type something like relationships, right? These are topics that they would gather around, the types of groups they're looking for. And so you'll want to choose your own keywords based on the reasons you gather, the populations you serve, your purpose. So things like health, green businesses, relationships. And don't worry about, you know, trying to think them all up on your own. Meetup actually begins to give you suggestions once you type in a few keywords. And this is what you were talking about just a second ago, right, Sharla?
Yeah, I love they give you and something. I'll give you a couple of extra tips here. One, going back to the naming thing, one of the things that I love that you have in here, don't name your group the same name as your business, because just a quick little history, what I learned from Mel Cutler from MeetupZoo.com. He was sharing that Meetup actually started post 9/11, and they started this to just create communities of people and to have a venue online where people could get together and organize meetings and just really be together in community. It's not about promoting business. So you kind of have to be stealth about promoting your business through Meetup. So you don't want to name it as the same name as your business. And I love that you have that tip. And they may shut you down. They will review, and they may really shut you down if they do that. And they're still doing that. We had a client who was just in Build Your Empire, and she said the first time she launched her meetup, they ended up shutting her down. So she had to start all over. So that's one little tip. And then another one is about keywords and topics. You want to choose topics that relate to what you do and who your audience is, and you also want to try and diversify your topics as much as possible, because what happens is that when somebody goes and joins Meetup to go check out other groups, like they're as a participant, they're going to pick their keywords and their interest groups or their interest topics. And so if you can have as wide, you know, without being spammy about it, right, but as wide as is appropriate, as many different types of interest topics as you can, that's great. And the other thing I would recommend in that is you get up to 15, so I would fill all 15. And so if that means, you know, for example, if you are doing something around entrepreneur networking, there's so many categories there. But, you know, fill it in. I've seen some meetup groups where they only pick like 6 interest topics, and you might as well leverage all 15 that they give you that are available. So go ahead and use all of those. And then when they email their database, it's going to all the people that said they were interested in those different topics, those people are going to get it. Get the announcement about your group. And there's
I'll be speaking
like
about that in just a sec.
Right, there's like something like 300,000 people in their database or something, like 3 million. It's something crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like 3 million or something like that. Yep.
Yeah, when they give you, I think, if I remember correctly, about 3 days after you start your meetup. Is it 3 days? Is it a week? I can't remember now.
It's
been
between 3 and 7 days. It depends. I mean, ours actually took 7 or 8 days, and I think they were really investigating us really thoroughly.
Mm.
And I just made sure that it wasn't, you know, I didn't put us as a sponsor. I didn't do any of that stuff. So it took them quite a while to approve our group. And I think it probably depends on how backed up they are.
Right. And once they approve you, they're going to send an email blast to their entire database of people who expressed interest in those keywords, in those topics. So that's why it's important to choose as many topics as possible and also ones that are relevant so that, you know, the right email is getting to the right people.
Right. And here's why I actually want to share that big mistake that I made. When I titled the first meetup event that we were having, and one thing you definitely want to do is you want to have your first meetup scheduled. But when I titled that first meetup event, I said, join us for the launch party of the Client Attraction Network. And what I should have done instead was actually put the topic, like the title of the talk, because if you think about it, when you get an email and there's a subject line, what they saw was join us for the launch instead of, you know, eight building blocks to make $10,000 a month. So they saw, you see what I'm saying, is that you want to really be mindful about what you're titling that first event is, because that's what's going to go out to their database.
Right, right. And that's something that I'll be covering in just a moment, so I'll repunctuate that point again.
Great.
And if you look at, let's see, we left off at a round I wanted to talk about, number 14. You can connect Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn to your page, your personal Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The checklist describes how to do this, and this is a way that people can follow you personally on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. There's little icons that are on your meetup's home page that will lead them to your social media site. So do remember to fill those in. Point number 15, remember to schedule your first meetup. It can help with getting new members if you have a meetup already planned. So try to plan your first meetup within 2 days of starting a group, a brand new group. I think, like I said, they'll email blast their database in sometimes as early as 3 days when you start a new group. So I say, you know, try to get like a pre-planned meetup going within 2 days so that when they email blast everybody, it shows, hey, you've already got a meetup group planned, even if it's 3 weeks in the future, even if it's a month in the future, because it helps you with sign-ups.
Yeah.
And 15B, okay, we talked about this earlier. You need a hot title for each of your meetings. This is what Charlotte was just talking about. And you'll want to use what you've learned with Jesse and Charlotte to write good copy, to use good headline language. In fact, I have a worksheet from Jesse and Charlotte called Best Headline Words and Best Headline Phrases. Which courses do you actually give those out in now?
I am not sure if that's from Build Your Empire or Leverage Your
Genius.
That
one's from Build Your Empire. So it could still be in Build Your Empire. It may also be in Leverage Your Genius. And those are extremely helpful for titling your talks because, as Charlotte just said, when they email blast people, when you announce your talk, the main subject line of the email is going to be the name of your talk. So you definitely want to name it something that catches people's attention, makes them want to open the email. Number 15H, there's a note that I put in there. There is a field where you can fill out how people will find you at the venue. So there's actually like a single row there that says, you know, tell people how they will find you. And what I mean by that, or what they mean by that, is sometimes you rent a venue, but the room you're in is down the hall and to the left. And people sometimes can't find you unless you put in there, down the hall and to the left. So remember to actually give them instruction on how to find you, because if you don't, you can have people who sign up for your meetup, come to your meetup, and they can't find you and they go home. So that's an important note. Number 15L is that you are allowed to set a maximum number of participants. And I want to make a quick note here that with free events, sometimes only about half of the people who sign up actually show up. So you may want to allow for this by allowing twice as many people to sign up as your venue can hold. Charla, are you still finding that with free events, when there's, you know, through Meetup as a venue, not everybody who signs up shows up if it's a free event?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We're, you know, we haven't figured out the formula because we've only done two. And with our meetups, you know, because we're also promoting through our own database and encouraging, you know, we're trying to grow the community and encouraging our members, meaning people who've been to the Rejuvenate Your Practice, to bring guests and really expand the community. We sometimes end up with more people because there's such an emphasis on bringing guests. We sometimes end up with more people than we actually thought were coming. So, you know, but we haven't figured out the formula. So the first meetup we had 167 people RSVP and 120 showed up. So that was less than we expected. And then this last one, I think we only were expecting 36 and we had 44.
Right. So it jumps around.
Right.
It jumps, and I don't even know that there's actually a perfect formula for it. I think it is always going to jump around a bit when it's a free event. So you just need to be aware of that. And just remember that if your venue only holds, you know, 50, you might want to actually allow 100 to RSVP or 75.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And back to the checklist, if you look at 15O, make sure that you check the checkbox for email members automatic reminders. There's a check, there's an actual checkbox you can check that allows Meetup to send out automatic reminders to all the people who have signed up to attend your meetup. And this is beautiful because it takes care of it for you. You don't have to remember to do it. It's just automatic. And anything that is automated helps you with leverage, saving time, and all that goodness. So definitely make sure that box is checked. A few more quick things. Number 16, I've got a tip on there. Ask people to send your Meetup link to their friends. You can actually put that in the Meetup invite. When you're writing about the details of your Meetup and what it is you're going to cover and what you're going to talk about that night, you can actually add a sentence. Please do your part to grow our community. Please send this link out to your friends. You can do what Charla has done, which is please bring a friend. And the last thing that I wanted to share, a tip that's not on the checklist, is that you can put inside the body of your invitation an agenda. You can put an agenda kind of saying start time, you know, networking is this first part, this time to this time is the talk, this time to this time this is what happens. And that really just saves you the headache of having individual people emailing you and asking, hey, what's the agenda? What time does the talk start? What time does the talk end? And all of that minutiae that you don't want to be weighed down with.
Great. Great. I love that part. And I think we're going to take that on pretty soon and starting to put our agenda on our meetup as well. And I love that. You know, it's you figured out, you've been doing this for a couple of years, probably almost 3 years now, Dan, and you've really figured out a lot of what, you know, some of the stuff to really save yourself a lot of time because that's always your focus. So I love it. And now let's talk about getting people to our events because I know that you've created a lot of buzz about your events using Meetup, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So tell us about how you've done that using other, you know, social media tools to promote your meetups.
Yeah, you also have a checklist on that. So if you've got that, go ahead and, you know, pull that open. It's the checklist on promoting your meetup. And I'm just going to cover a few of the points that are on that page. Point number one is that once you've finished filling out all the details for creating your first meetup, you can press a button to promote it, and email Meetup will email blast all of your members and let them know about the upcoming Meetup. Now, if you're just starting a Meetup and you don't have any members yet, you don't have to push that button yet. You can actually wait to announce your Meetup until some people have joined and until some people have actually RSVP'd for the Meetup as well. You can then email blast everybody who has joined at a later date. That way, because if you email blast in the beginning when no one's there, no one's going to get it. So you're kind of wasting an announcement. So just hold off and announce it after you've got some members in there. And point number two, when you announce, okay, when you push that button to announce to your all your members that you've got another Meetup group happening, then it will let you customize the email that goes out with the announcement. So you can write a quick note to your people, and that little note will appear in their invitation email along with the first few lines of your Meetup's description. So that little description that you write for every new group or meeting that you're going to hold also shows up in that email. So keep in mind that since the first, I don't remember how many lines, but you know, first let's just say 10 lines or so end up showing up in the email invite, you'll want to make sure that your first 10 lines are attention-grabbing and really make people want to read more and click through. So that can be really useful that way. Point number five. Once you've created your Meetup, there are little buttons off to the right side. And they are little icons, little blue buttons for Facebook and Twitter. You can click on those buttons and announce your Meetup through Facebook and Twitter. You click through using those buttons. This will automatically create a short message that you can use along with a link to your next Meetup. Now, I recommend that you customize that message. You don't necessarily need to use the message that they, you know, create for you. But the link that they create for you does something else really cool. You know that if you go and, you know, when you go on Facebook and you post any link on your Facebook as your post, Facebook creates a little picture and a little description of whatever the link is about. So if you just went right onto Facebook and you took the link to your Meetup and you pasted it on there, it would just show a little picture of whatever you used for your photo, and it would have a little description of your Meetup. However, if you go through the Meetup site and you push on these little two buttons for the little Facebook icon and the little Twitter icon, Meetup creates a link that once it posts to your Facebook page, the little story that goes with the link shows how many people have RSVP'd to your Meetup so far. So for example, if you've already got 10 people RSVP'd and registered, it'll show up on your Facebook timeline, hey, this Meetup's coming up, and guess what? There are 10 people already registered. And that helps to create more buzz and more signups when others can see that there are already people signed up for your Meetup. Tip number six, it's on line number six, is to try to start marketing your event 2 weeks in advance, at least. You want to give people enough time and enough warning so that they don't already have something planned for that day or that evening. So try to do your best to start doing your promotion at least 2 weeks out. And as I say on number seven, you can post and repost to Facebook and Twitter about every other day. Because think about it, most people aren't on Facebook or aren't on Twitter all day long. They tend to pop on and pop off at certain times of day. So you'll want to, you know, post to Facebook and post to Twitter. I do about every other day, and I do it at different times of day because people have certain patterns and habits. Some people are morning time surfers. Some like to, you know, be on there at noon, at lunchtime, other people in the evening. So you can kind of switch it around. One day you post it in the morning, 2 days later in the afternoon, 2 days later in the evening, and that really gets you more exposure on Facebook and Twitter. And a real quick note, when you post repeatedly on Facebook, it means that you're going to have a bunch of posts on your Facebook timeline saying pretty much the exact same thing, promoting your Meetup. And that starts to crowd your timeline and it looks boring. So what I do is you can go in there and actually delete the post so it doesn't crowd up your whole Facebook timeline and your Facebook page.
Hmm. And you know what, Dana, there's something else that I noticed about you that you do so well, and I mean, we've started modeling this, is that I noticed, you know, we're in a lot of different groups together. And what I mean Facebook groups, right? This is a tip, right, is to join a lot of different Facebook groups that are associated with your audience or that are, you know, entrepreneurs about networking. And in the Bay Area, there's like 6 or 7 groups that you and I are both a part of. And you really make yourself a center of influence by being sharing resources all the time. So I love this. I just noticed in the last couple weeks you shared about a really great movie that you thought was impactful. You shared about 2 other really cool events that are going on in the Bay Area. You know, there are probably about 6 or 7 really cool entrepreneur events for women in the Bay Area, and you're always posting about those. And really, you know, so your face keeps showing up and your name keeps showing up, and you're showing up as a generous resource and commenting on other people's posts and engaging and adding value. And then when you, you know, put your post up there, it's like, oh, I've seen her before. Wow, she's, you know, given so much value. So I think that's one reason why so many people come to your meetups through the social media channels, because of the way that you've set yourself up as a resource.
Yeah, it ends up being a really nice way to do it. Thank you for the acknowledgement. Because, you know, if you're seen in a group constantly promoting your own stuff and not really participating in the group, not really bringing other value to the group, then you just look like a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows no one likes being sold to.
Right.
So, you know, don't end up digging yourself in a hole by being a constant sales person. Really get in there and be a part of the group. And
yeah.
It really helps a lot. It does.
Yeah, and even I noticed that even people, and I don't know how you feel about this, Dana, but I noticed that if there are people that all they're doing are posting their blog posts, even if the blog posts are supposed to be value, to me it still feels like they're selling their thing all the time. And I really like the way that you engage. I mean, you know, especially if you're in Rejuvenate and you're in the Bay Area or you're in L.A., there are so many other Rejuvenate people. Once you find those groups, it won't be a problem to engage with each other because you'll see familiar faces. And, you know, and eventually you get connected with groups like Tribal Truth no matter where you are in the United States. And you'll be able to find your people and find the groups that they're part of. And it's just so easy to just, you know, like people's things and say a little comment and Yahoo and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then to be a resource, like a center of resource, like what's happening in your area? How can you share valuable other people's events? And it's so cool because especially this is one of the things I love about the Rejuvenate community is you guys can promote for each other. You don't always have to be the one promoting yourself. And Dana, I actually posted in the Client Attraction Network and I tagged you and I said, when are your events? You know, because I want to start being somebody that posts your events. And it's like we can all do this for each other.
Yes.
So that's what I want you to do is really band together as a community and support each other by posting about each other's events. And then you don't always have to be the one selling your own event. That makes sense.
That's right. Sometimes I'll even go in there and just drop a quote in. You know, one of my favorite quotes and just kind of brighten somebody's day with a moment of inspiration. So just, you know, have fun in the groups. Be a part of the group just like any other social group that you'd be a part of.
Yeah, and it really
and
only has to be like 10 to 15 minutes a day. You know, don't spend all day on Facebook.
It's
go look at your groups. I always go to my homepage and I look on my left side and there are like 7 groups that I participate in and I just 15, 20 minutes every day I go into each of my groups and I see what's happening and I engage. And so that's the way you can do it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, don't get lost in it.
Right.
And the last tip I wanted to share is tip number 9 actually from that document, which is never post on other people's personal walls, not without express permission. It's a great way to lose a friend fast if you go on their wall without their permission and post about your event or your this or your that. So don't think that just because you're friends you have license to do that. Things can
Although
go south
I would
real quick.
Say, and I'm wondering how you feel about this, Dana. I would say that like if I had an upcoming meetup and there were like 6 people that I really love dearly, I might tag them and say, I'm so excited to see you at the upcoming event and put a link. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, tagging, I can see that. I would say it's best if you already kind of had an alliance with them or you kind of know that it's okay or you've asked their permission.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, banding together and really supporting each other, you can do it that way. So, you know, definitely I encourage you to find people whose walls you can post it on, or people who you can tag and who are happy to have themselves tagged, and you can do it for each other.
Great. Okay, cool. Well, now let's talk about they're at the event, and you're really, really amazing at turning your meetup members into paying clients. So tell us all about your simple formula for doing that.
Oh, yeah. So mostly I offer free things or low-cost things at the meetup. I offer free consultations, which turn into hard-selling conversations. I sometimes offer free passes for short classes, like maybe a three-call teleseries. There's times that I've offered scholarships to events, sometimes to my own event, sometimes to other people's events. Occasionally I'll offer a special deal on an upcoming two-day event. Maybe I'll, you know, offer a deal for tickets for either $47 or $97. Just recently I promoted my next event, the Six-Figure Freedom Formula. So there's actually a lot that you can offer. I recommend that you just get creative and experiment, and remember that it takes practice. And with practice, you'll build new skills as you go, and you'll learn every step of the way.
Great. Yeah, I love this, especially those of you that, you know, if you're in double your practice, you can do a meetup and you can offer a consultation. We do this all the time. It's like, especially, you know, build your empire and double your practice. You go out and speak, you get consultations, and then you use the consultation template from Double Your Practice to either offer a package of sessions or a group program. You know, we teach you how to do group programs and leverage your genius. So most of you who are here are at least in Double Your Practice, and at the very least, go give some value, connect people, engage them, and then make an offer for a free consultation. And this is, you know, one of the fastest ways to get new clients. And so I love that you've been modeling this for all these years, Dana.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, so
all of it, super good.
All of it, right. let's talk about how to avoid some of the most common mistakes that most people make when setting up their meetups. So if you can give us any additional tips to help us avoid mistakes or to get better results with our meetups.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a learning curve, so you will have to be experimental. You'll have to experiment. Many of us work with different populations. We offer different things. We help in different ways. And so you'll need to experiment with each aspect of your meetup. And each population works differently. You know, each population of clientele works differently, so you'll really have to learn your population. Sometimes you can't copy anyone. You just really have to start dreaming up new ideas. Some common mistakes that I've seen people make are with their title, not using any kind of good marketing language or hot copy language. And I've seen people not sign up for meetups simply based on the title wasn't interesting enough. So really start to learn how to shape your titles. And you'll have to experiment with it. You'll have to see which kinds of titles for your population seem to get the most RSVPs and the most people showing up. You'll also need to be aware of what's in your copy. For example, you need to remember to tell people what they're going to be learning that night. And you'll want to even do something like create some bullet points of what their takeaways are going to be, what they're going to be learning or doing. I think this is something that we learned in Build Your Empire, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different than the agenda.
Yeah, you could also really look at, like, modeling. You could go to Dana's meetup or to our, you know, you could search in the San Jose area for Client Attraction Network for our meetup, and then Dana, yours is Bay Area Entrepreneur and Small Business Meetup, and that that's going to be near Berkeley or Oakland, right?
We're mostly in San Francisco, actually, because it's a little bit more central for the whole Bay Area to drive to.
Right. Okay, so you're in San Francisco. So if you just go to meetup.com and search, you'll actually be able to see some examples. You can look at some past meetups that Dana's done. You can look at our, you know, we've only got the last two that we did in this one, but there'll be some good examples of copy, and you'll get all those formulas in Leverage Your Genius.
Yeah. So those are extremely important, is paying attention to, you know, things like your copy and also the language that you use. Now, this is something that I end up teaching people that I work with a lot, which is how to market and how to write good copy for your specific population. There is a learning curve to, you know, really figuring out what the people in your population need and what kind of language they would use and what kind of language they would respond to. And you really have to use the language that they would use in their own head. And you only really learn that you know, with experience. Over time, you begin to learn how populations think.
Mm-hmm.
And another place to pay attention.
That could be a whole call. That's why we spend a lot of time on that. Great. So, yeah, and then you want to talk about how you run the meetups themselves?
Yeah. There's really some attention you need to pay to how you run the meetups and the atmosphere you create. For example, if your population, and it's population specific, if your population is working with people with health issues, you probably won't want to run your meetup in a type A fashion, creating an atmosphere of stress and tension, right? So think about who you serve and create the atmosphere and the energy that that population would love to be in. And, of course, remember that as meetups started out, this is all about creating community, and people are hungry for community. So make sure that you're not just selling all the time, but you're offering rich content and rich experiences and a sense of strong community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you said a moment earlier, we all tend to learn best from a submersion environment. So I invite all of you to come and actually join my meetup and see how I do it. Come and watch and learn and network and have fun.
Right. Yeah, thank you for the invitation. So that would be, if you're in the Bay Area, go, you know, put in San Francisco as the area and then search for Bay Area Entrepreneurs and Small Business, and you'll find Dana's beautiful picture, and you can check out her meetup. And then, you know, we actually talked about quite a few of these mistakes that we were going to cover earlier in the call, one being choosing too few interest groups, right? And you want to choose as many as possible, right?
And then
I told you my big fiasco, which choosing the wrong first words for the title of your first event, because that's what's going to get blasted out to their list. And we really lost a big opportunity there, and I really got that. So I don't want that to happen to you when you set up your meetups. And then the last one was the last big mistake was to make sure not to brand your meetup to be just like your business. Give it a different name, and you know, you just want it to be, and also kind of make it a non-salesy environment. That's why, you know, Dana, you really offer low and no-cost things at your meetup, and that's why it stays successful. Because otherwise, one thing that you may not know, and I didn't know this until after we did our first meetup, is that Meetup sends an email out to everybody who said they were attending and invites them to rate your meetup. And if people give it a really bad rating, that's going to show up on your homepage of your meetup, and if it feels really salesy, that's what's going to happen. So you want it to just feel like a great event and, you know, deliver on what you promise, and then you'll get good ratings.
That is important.
It is. So, Dana, you've already just been so super generous by giving us your checklist for setting up our meetup groups, your checklist for ongoing promotion, plus you gave us all of these extra tips. And, I mean, I think everybody's head is probably swelling with so much information. This is such a value-packed call that I think you're going to want to listen to this again and again. And I know that you also, because I always ask my really awesome graduates who are making six figures or more to give not just this amazing value. You know, you're not getting paid to be here. You're just coming here to give back to the Rejuvenate community. And, you know, you know what it's like to go through that those starting phases. And you know how
yes.
That is. And so, you know, So I ask a lot. I ask you to come and do all this content, and then I ask you to give a really cool package of gifts. So you've got a really awesome care package for our six-figure mastermind members. So tell us about the gifts that you're offering.
Yeah, y'all can go to rejuvenatetraining.com/DanaGift. And when you enter your name and email, it's going to send you an email. You'll need to confirm that it's you that, you know, put your name and email in there. And then you'll receive two tickets to the six-figure Freedom Formula event. It's one of the next events that I'm running, so you get a pair of tickets to that. And at that event, I'll teach what I did to reach six figures simply and quickly, and I'll be taking everybody through processes for working on their inner game and their outer game. And then you'll also get the care package that I was speaking of earlier, which has ebooks and audios filled with business education and the inner game work that I use to get to six figures, the family entanglement work, and the childhood re-imprinting. And then I'll also add in there a link to my meetup group so that you don't have to go searching for meetup on it. There'll be a link right there. You can join the meetup group, come and watch how I do it, learn, network, have fun, meet new friends. And again, that URL is rejuvenatetraining.com/DanaGift.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So this is so, so super cool. Thanks for the amazing guests. And I know, you know, not only are you living the, you know, the dream lifestyle, being able to travel all over the place and make such a difference in so many people's lives. And I do know that this work, this family entanglement work, you may have also heard it called family constellation, right? But I know you've added to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so powerful. I've done some of this work, and it is so extremely powerful. And if you are finding yourself, you know, you're taking in the information, but you're not getting an action, that's an inner game thing. And I would encourage you to go take Dana up on her free gift at rejuvenatetraining.com/Dana gift. And with that, let's go ahead and open it up to questions. Let me see. I do have one question that came in through the dashboard here from Robin Spence. So I'm going to go ahead and just read this out loud. And so it says, let's see. So Robin says, so to be clear, Meetup sends out a blast to all of its members about the new Meetup so that members can join the new Meetup group. And the Promote Your Meetup checklist is about promoting to the members of the Meetup group. Is this correct? Potential members join because of Meetup's blast and through keyword search. Is this correct? Robin, it sounds like, and actually, let me see, you're still on the line, so I'm going to unmute you, Robin, and I'm putting
you
on the big mic so that we can make sure we've got your question clarified. So, Dana, you want to go ahead and answer that question?
I'll answer as much of it as I was able to track, because there was, I think, about three questions in there. The first one is, Meetup will blast all of its database based on the keywords that you've chosen, I'm pretty sure. Charlotte, do you think they blast everybody? I think they only blast people who have said, I am interested in this topic.
They do. As far as I can tell, they only blast people who have said they're interested in that topic.
That's why choosing your keywords and your topics is so essential, is that, and as Charlotte said, you want to spread it out a bit as well, so that different populations that are and would be interested in what you have to give actually get that email blast.
Mm-hmm.
The second question, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, the second question was, the Meetup checklist is about promoting to the members of the Meetup group. Is this correct? And I know the answer, but I'll let you answer that, Dana.
Yeah, the promotion checklist is about how to promote to the members of your Meetup, but also how to promote elsewhere using social media marketing right now, which is pretty hot and happening. And so you don't want to just promote to people on Meetup about it, because once Meetup does that big email blast, they only do that once. And from there, every time that you announce your next Meetup and your next Meetup and your next Meetup, it only goes to people who are members of your Meetup group. So in order to get more members in the future, you're going to have to find ways to promote your Meetup in general. And that means, in this case, using things like social media, emailing your own lists if you're list building already, and letting them know that, hey, I've got a Meetup coming up. If you aren't a part of the group yet, go ahead and join the Meetup, and then RSVP for our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So basically the question, the core of the question is, how do we increase the number of members to the Meetup group? And you just answered it.
Okay, fantastic.
That makes sense?
Super. Yeah, great question.
You.
Great questions, Robin. Thank you so much. I'm sure other people have those questions too. Thanks for asking those clarifying questions. Okay, great. Well, we have a few more minutes, and Dana's on the line, and here you are. You've got a graduate making six figures plus who shared so much valuable information with you. If you've got questions for Dana, go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad now. And we'll see how many we can take. Oh, lots of questions, lots of questions. Okay, I'm going to do my best to get to all of you. Laura Lamprecht, you are on the big mic.
Hi, good to talk to you, Charlotte. Thank you so much for having me over for Jacob's party. It was so fun. Thank you. And good to talk to you, Dana. I was just wondering how often you suggest doing events. Weekly, monthly, is there any kind of guideline over that?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I feel it depends on your stamina. I feel like doing one every week would be hard on you. And at the same time, your Meetup members may or may not want to meet every week, in which case you may have low attendance. So you'll have to, again, experiment and test with your population. You can even ask some of your members, hey, how often do you want to meet? I find that twice a month feels like a pretty good amount if you want to be doing it on the more often side of the scale. Once a month is great for on the lower end of the scale, which actually the scale is very short in that case. Once a month because it really keeps the backbone of the community alive. It really keeps the community active. And of course, there are times that you can't always do it every month. You may want to be a kind of group that meets once a quarter or once every 2 months. And depending on your population, that may or may not work for attendance, because if people kind of don't have you on their radar, they may not, you know, be keeping you in mind, and also they may not feel very bonded to the group. And therefore, when you send out an email blast and say, hey, we're having our quarterly meetup, you may not have a lot of participation.
Yeah.
So really, I think a lot of it comes to experimenting.
Yeah, we're doing once a month, and we're doing it where it's like the first Monday of the month or the second Wednesday of the month or whatever it is, that it's a consistent thing so that they can, you know, they can remember when it's going to be.
Put it in their calendar.
And that's what I see a lot of the very successful groups in the Bay Area doing.
Right. And then can I ask a follow-up little question to that?
Sure.
I was wondering how long, should it be like a 2 or 3 hours or like a magical number, what the time span of the meetup should be?
That's also a good question. It depends on your population. Think about it. If you're working with parents or people with health issues, you might not want to make it for quite as long. And you also may want to begin to ask some of your members what they feel like is a good amount of time. I think that for all the trouble that it takes to get somewhere after work, if you're doing it on a weekday evening, then something that's around 2 to 3 hours, maybe four sometimes. But it depends on what you're doing and what's on the agenda, and, you know, it can fluctuate.
Great. Thank you so much.
Great questions, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to where did you go there? Risa, you are on the big mic. Or is it Risa? Am I saying your name wrong?
No, that's right. That's Risa. Correct. It's like Lisa with an R.
Oh, great.
I had the same question. I wanted to know how long a meeting would go for. For example, my niche is to do with insomnia and sleeping. So we could probably meet at midnight. I'm not really good for midnight because I am sleeping and they aren't. And that's why I'm going to be helping them. So the question then becomes, like, how long do we do it for, and what have you found to be a good time to start? Do you do it at a dinner time? Do you do it after dinner?
Well, I tend to do mine after work, and depending on the venue, sometimes I have a venue that has food that people can purchase, and so I might make it a little bit earlier since I know that they can come there to grab dinner and they can network while they're eating a little bit, and then we'll open the show, so to speak. Other times I'm at a venue that doesn't have food, and I might make it a little bit later. So maybe a venue with food, I'd start it at 6 or 6:30. Maybe a venue without food starts at 7:30, just to give people enough time to get off of work, grab something to eat, and come over. Ideally, you know, I don't like somebody to have to skip dinner just to come to the event. And depending on where you're located and who your population is, and, you know, you do end up wanting to learn where your participants live, because it makes a difference on when you would want to do your stop time. So, for example, if you live in the East Bay and most of your people that come are East Bay, maybe it's fine for them to end at 10 p.m. However, if you've got people coming from San Jose and, you know, just far away, then you might not want to end at 10 p.m. because it's too late for them to then need to drive home and try to settle down and get ready for bed, go to work the next day. So some of this really comes down to asking your members, hey, what's a good time for y'all to start, and what time do you want to end by?
Great. Thank you very much. It's very helpful. Now all I have to do is find a meetup. I live.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks. Great question. Okay, so our next question is from Linda Allred. Linda, you're on the big mic.
Hey there. I was just wondering, Dana, do you try to find free venues, or are you paying big bucks out of pocket to hold these meetings? What are you looking at?
Also a great question. Anytime that you can find a free venue in your area, fantastic and good on you, as they say down under. It's very useful because it cuts down on your expenses. Sometimes you can't find anything in your area and you just need to pay a little bit. So, you know, really my favorite is a free venue. There's times that I will pay. Sometimes one of the things that you can do if you have to pay just because you don't have a free venue is that you can charge a little bit for your meetups. And, you know, sometimes when you charge for your meetup, number one, when you charge, you tend to have more secure attendance, meaning if somebody pays, then they're probably more likely going to show up. And it depends on how you do the payment. You can do just online payments, and you can do that through the meetup site. You can connect your PayPal. You can connect Amazon Payments through the site, and it will take payments for you automatically. You don't have to do anything. The money just shows up in your account. Fantastic. And those people tend to show up, and you know the numbers ahead of time. If you don't take payments just online, if you allow payments at the door, that means a lot more people probably won't pay online. They will pay at the door since they want to kind of have the wiggle room of, you know, jumping ship last minute. Then you have a little bit less stability on that. However, if you do have to pay for a venue, then I recommend charging a little bit for your events to help you cover the cost of that, unless that's just something, you know, maybe it doesn't cost that much and it's pretty easy for you. That said, post-Stanza, if you're just starting your meetup, you probably don't want to charge immediately because you just want to get people in the door and get people knowing about you. So you may have to invest a little bit up front to get the thing rolling if all you have is paid ventures.
All right. Well, I'm a weight loss expert, and what you were saying is to come up with different topics under the umbrella of what you do. Is that the best way to go, or to keep doing the same topic and you get new members to come that hadn't come, or have you done it both ways?
When you say topics, do you mean what I speak on, or do you mean
What you speak on.
Oh, I definitely try to add some variety to what I speak on.
Okay.
So that it covers the range of what it is that I do for people in general. I mean,
and
that
get
way
the same people coming back over and over again that way?
Well, yes, definitely. You do want people to come back over and over again because that's how the bond between the community members really starts to set in. So you do want your repeat members to come back, and you want new members as well, which means either way, as you kind of broaden your topic of what you're teaching on, you're going to have the repeat members being happy, and you'll capture new members because you're going to end up speaking on a topic one night that sparks somebody's interest, and it's the first topic they've been interested that you've posted about, and suddenly they come and they love it, and now they stay. So broader is better in this case.
And they can also bring a friend, too.
And they can also bring a friend.
Right, and give a door prize if they bring a friend. I do that sometimes.
There you go. Yes.
Help them recruit for you. You know, make them recruit for you.
Yes.
And just a little trick of what we do with our tickets is that we give an early bird price, and then we actually, the price to pay at the door is a lot more than it is if they come, if they sign up online ahead of time. So, and the other thing we do is we allow the first time is always free. So we allow people to come check it out for free. And,
yeah,
you know,
and you can set up PayPal on
meetup.com?
Meetup
actually has a way to collect money. So if
okay.
you want to do that, you can totally do it through there.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well,
awesome.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Fantastic. Great questions. Okay. So, and then the last question was where to hold the meetups that I saw. This came in from Christine. And let me go ahead and see, Christine, if you're still on the line, and we'll unmute you. And so, yeah, I want to talk about where to hold the meetups. And, you know, you kind of covered this, Dana, but you have any specific questions about that, Christine?
Yeah, I do. Thanks, Charlotte, for taking my call and reading my question. Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm actually located at Lake Tahoe, so I can do meetups in Reno. I could also potentially look at the Bay Area as well. I have an office there. So is there, do you have tips, Dana, as far as like finding free venues? I mean, obviously, that would be a great place to start with free.
Yes.
My preference.
Yes, and the answer to that is elbow grease. The way that you find free venues mm-hmm. is that you really have to start searching. You got to ask people.
Okay.
You've got to. One of the things that I did was I tried to do some internet research
mm-hmm.
and look for community venues
okay.
and you know places that other people were. Anytime somebody hosts at another venue, I go and you know, oh, how's this venue? What's this venue like? You know,
mm-hmm.
how much are their spaces? And
right.
And really, I did the internet research, found locations, called them up, and talked to them about their rooms, whatever
okay.
it is.
Okay.
So, you know, really what that came down to for me was a lot of time and elbow grease over the years of just
mm-hmm.
continuing to search. And free venues come and go. Sometimes it's free
right.
for a little bit and it changes or it shuts down. So you might as well go ahead and take time and just do a bunch of research and see what you can find. And
mm-hmm.
then continue to research as you go.
Right, right. Okay. And do you find that the caliber of attendees is better if you charge like $5? Like it's more... like the meeting is more productive?
You know, not always. Sometimes, yes, because people are more invested because they've invested, right? So
right.
the more you pay, the more you pay attention. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Sure.
And and so it can. And at the same time, I've done free events, and they've been absolutely fantastic, and everybody was so happy, and they were playing full out. And so it's not like a black or white here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you so much. Thanks.
You're
thanks
welcome.
For the great ideas.
Fantastic.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh! Just so much great content. And with that, we're running out of time here. So I just really want to thank you so much, Dana, for giving so much valuable information today. And I want to encourage those of you who are here, you know, get ready and start your own meetups. Go for it. And make sure you pick up Dana's really cool gift package that she did for you at rejuvenatetraining.com/Dana gift. I think there's also a link at the bottom of the handouts. So awesome. So with that, anything else you want to say in closing, Dana, before we go?
Yeah, just, you know, get out there and try it. And in the beginning, you're going to be like, oh, I don't know if this works, and, you know, a little shaky on that, nervous here and fumbling there, and... it's all part of the learning process, so just get all the fumbly, shaky bits out of the way. Just do them and get them out of the way so that you can really start getting comfortable with it and experimenting with it till you find your sweet spot.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dana. This is a great call, and I'm just going to quickly unmute the line so we can all give Dana her gift, which is a quick one-word checkout of what you're walking away with. So everybody on the count of three, one, two, three.
Thank you.
Very valuable.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.